The Sunday Baroque podcast is made possible by WSHU and the Friends of Sunday Baroque. You can find out more about the Friends of Sunday Baroque and find out how to become one yourself by visiting our website, sundaybaroque.org, under the Contact tab. Avi Avatel is a mandolin player and a composer with a broad repertory of music for his instrument from many different genres, from klezmer and folk to Baroque music to contemporary commissions. And he performs his music internationally. Well, Avi Avatel released a recording of mandolin concertos by Antonio Vivaldi with the Venice Baroque Orchestra in early 2015. And I had a chance to speak with him about his work. Let's start with having you explain what a mandolin is, what it looks like, how it sounds, and how it's played, and what unique characteristics the instrument has.
Well, the mandolin is a plucked string instrument, and as such, he's connected to a very old family of instruments that are all playing a major role in, if you look at any antique musical culture. If you look at the Persian instruments and the Chinese pipa and the koto in Japan and the balalaika in Russia and the bouzouki in Greece, they're all very ancient instruments that play a major role in their musical culture. So the mandolin arrived to Europe from the Orient, essentially, and was adapted for classical music. It was mostly connected with the nobility, with the Medici court in Florence in the 17th century, and with other noble and aristocrat families around Italy, and afterwards, of course, in Europe. So in the Baroque, we're looking at a plucked string instrument that have mostly eight strings, four double strings, and is being played with a pick.
And with this long history of this instrument, it seems that many people would associate it with much more recent music, bluegrass or blues or even rock music. Now, how did it make that leap? Why is it more often associated with those other genres?
Well, it seems like the course of the mandolin never ended. It started, as a plucked string instrument in different cultures around the world, and it continues to travel and to be very much so. It's like the guitar, for example, which is probably the most popular instrument in the world. I mean, we tend to think about the piano, but that doesn't cover all the different genres of music. So essentially, there is something very, very immediate in the instrument, in the mandolin, that makes it very easy to associate with new genres of music, relatively new genres of music like bluegrass that came with the Italian and the Irish immigration, where the mandolin was already part of the culture, or with the Brazilian choro music, where they call it bandolim, and of course we see more and more kind of indie music and rock music using this very charming sound of the mandolin.
Well, now, you are so deeply committed to the instrument. How did you start playing it, and what is it that you find especially captivating?
I started as a coincidence. I had a neighbor who played the mandolin when I was young, and I just liked the sound of it. And that answers the second question. There's something very immediate with the mandolin. I think if I can recall, there is something very immediate when you hold the mandolin for the first time in your hands. You can actually play a little thing. It's I think if it was the violin proposed to me when I was young, I would have lost interest or lost patience quite fast, you know, just to figure out how the bow works and the position and so on. And there's something much more immediate and user-friendly when you see the mandolin. So I think that what really attracted me as a kid, because I didn't have too much patience to to figure out other complicated, you know, imagine the clarinet, for example. Oh.
So you had instant gratification when you played this. Did I read right that you played in a mandolin orchestra? Is that a group of all mandolins?
Yeah. That's I started. That was my introduction to the classical music world in my town in Be'er Sheva in Israel. There was a youth mandolin orchestra, I think at the peak it was something like 40 kids playing together in different sizes of mandolin. So mandola, mandoloncello, the whole range, with guitars as well. And that was more of an educational orchestra. So it was a fun way to learn about classical music through playing it, because our conductor essentially arranged music by Mozart, Bach, Grieg, Brahms, you name it, for us to play together and to perform even. And so that's how I know all the classical music pieces, that the first ones that I knew as a kid, just through playing them with other kids.
Well, that's a great jumping off point, because you have played so many of your own mandolin transcriptions of music for instruments like harpsichord and violin. Do they naturally lend themselves to performance on the instrument, or do you have any special challenges to overcome when you're trying to transfer something from a keyboard instrument or a violin?
Yeah, of course there are challenges to make the message come through, even if it's not the original instrument it was written for. And the challenge is different from piece to piece and from adaptation to another. For example, adapting violin music to the mandolin is more natural, because the violin is the mandolin is tuned like a violin, so it's really about how to make it work on the mandolin. So how you play the long notes and how you ornament it and so on. When it comes to take a harpsichord concerto by Bach and translate it to mandolin, then you have more intellectual challenge, because of course you can't play all the notes that are written. The harpsichord there works really hard with both hands all the time to perform this very virtuosic piece. So in that case, it was a lot about finding the essence of the music and what's important and in the harmony and the melody, and how to really to make it work as if Bach wrote it for the mandolin.
Well, a lot of Baroque musicians dabbled in the mandolin, but Vivaldi in particular seems to have had kind of an affinity for the instrument, didn't he?
Yes, it's funny, because a lot of people associate him with or consider him as like a mandolin-friendly composer. That is true. He did use the mandolin in four of his pieces, of which two are concerti, but those are two of 550 concerti. You know, he wrote like, I don't know, 30 something concerti for the bassoon, for instance. So that said, it's two concerti above the average at this time. So, you know, he has a warm corner in mandolin players' hearts for at least providing these two sweet, wonderful concerti.
Who would be some of the other Baroque contemporaries who would have given the mandolin some attention?
Domenico Scarlatti is a Napolitan composer, and as such, no surprise, because it's a very instrument very much associated with or connected with Napolitan culture. And he wrote six sonatas originally for mandolin and basso continuo. Those are wonderful, wonderful pieces. He's more or less the same time of Vivaldi, and it's interesting to see how different is the Venetian music and the Napolitan music. Because you tend to think of Italy as the same kind of culture, same kind of music and food, but it's really when you zoom in into the regional cultures that you see the richness of it and the nuances that each one of these regions or cities like Venice and Napoli and Naples have.
And you're also not only a champion of older music, but you're also commissioning music for the mandolin, right?
Definitely, yes. That was that's already, I think, since I was a student at the academy in Jerusalem, I realized that original repertoire for the mandolin is indeed limited, and that's wrong, and I want to fix that. So in 100 years, when a mandolin player talks to Sunday Baroque, he can say, "Oh, there is a lot of repertoire for the mandolin," and therefore I commission. I really believe in expanding the repertoire of the mandolin, and I would go every year to composers and ask them to write for the mandolin and have those pieces performed, of course. So that's a big portion of my my musical activity, I have to say, and one that I'm particularly proud of.
And is it typically music that would be for mandolin alone, or is it chamber music, or is it a mixed bag of everything?
I had of all. I had once, you know, a piece for trombone, mandolin, and piano.
Wow.
And, yes, and then lately I decided to have some kind of more conventional setting, so I can perform them actually more than once, and I have commissioned by now about 16 concerti for mandolin and orchestra, and pieces for mandolin solo, and several pieces for mandolin and string quartet. So these are settings that are much easier to then you know, perform again and again.
So a concerto for mandolin with orchestra. Now, would that typically be a large symphony orchestra size or a smaller chamber group, or could it be either one?
That also varies. You'd be surprised how loud the mandolin is. I mean, people think of it sometimes as like the guitar that needs amplification. And the mandolin has a different timbre and a different range and a different volume. And therefore, even when it's played with bigger orchestras, the sounds cut through. So it really varies. I think I have a lot of pieces for mandolin and strings, because it's a very nice blend, the contrast between the strings and the mandolin. But also bigger scale orchestras is something that I've performed with before.
So what's next for you? Whose music will you tackle next?
That's a good question. I mean, my desk is notebook is full of ideas that I want to realize, full of dreams and wishes of composers that I would like to commission from, of arrangements, of collaborations that I have in mind. I always have enough of those, so I'm not worried about that. But the next, the next kind of several months would be around Vivaldi, of course, because the album is being released, and we are about to embark a concert tour around the States now, with 13 dates on the road with the Venice Baroque Orchestra. So there's going to be a lot of Vivaldi for me now in the next couple of months. And I'm sure then I'll balance it with some kind of completely different, project.
So when you approach a contemporary composer for some mandolin music, do you ever get that raised eyebrow, like, mandolin? Or are you seeking out composers who have some familiarity or experience with the instrument already?
No, I actually like the eyebrow action, because because I feel that composers are challenged by it, mm-hmm. and are surprised by it, and for a composer, if I have to put myself in their position, if I would have been commissioned for a violin concerto, oh my God, I will have to consider, you know, Prokofiev and Sibelius and Mozart and Beethoven and all these amazing violin concertos that were written in the history of music. And I feel that as a composer, I at least would feel the way of it, like the necessity to compose something, that considers that or tops that. But with the mandolin, there is a lot of creative freedom. For a composer, and actually also for myself, with the projects that I choose to perform and to record, that's the fun part of being a mandolin player. It's pretty much, you know, a lot of freedom in terms of you invent the path you're walking on in real time, and you don't have all these great violinists and pianists on your shoulders that you have to follow necessarily their path, and that's a great fun.
Well, I love your new Vivaldi recording, and I'm hoping you will come near where I live, and I'm really looking forward to your next project. Thank you so much for making time to speak with me.
Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure.